Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast. We're on day number 50. Can you believe that? 50? That's crazy. We're starting the book of Isaiah today. We have conquered, made it through the Song of Solomon, and we are now in the book of Isaiah. What a great name, Isaiah, huh? Like the name? All right, Isaiah chapter 1. This is a long book, so it'll take a few days to get through. We'll probably get done, I'm guessing, on like, I don't know, Tuesday or something. I don't know, but I know it's going to be at least Monday or Tuesday before we finish the book of Isaiah. So let's get started. Bible 90 Days live every single day at 2 o'clock till we get the Bible in 90 days. You can get the YouVersion Bible app and follow along on the Bible plan or just watch the videos, you know, just do that too. Okay, here we go. Isaiah chapter 1. Try not to let myself be distracted here. These are the visions that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. He saw these visions during the reign. Start over here. He saw these visions during the years when Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah were kings of Judah. Now, this is a big difference from going from Proverbs and all that to this. This is a different type of reading here. Message for rebellious Judah. Listen, O heavens. Pay attention, earth. This is what the Lord says. The children I raised and cared for have rebelled against me. Even an ox knows its owner, and a donkey recognizes its master's care. But Israel doesn't know its master. My people don't recognize my care for them. Oh, what a sinful nation they are, loaded down with a burden of guilt. They're evil people, corrupt children who have rejected the Lord. They've despised the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. Why do you continue to invite punishment? Must you rebel forever? Your head is injured and your heart is sick. You're battered from head to foot, covered with bruises, welts, and infected wounds, without any soothing ointments or bandages. Your country lies in ruins and your towns are burned. Foreigners plunder your fields before your eyes and destroy everything they see. Beautiful Jerusalem stands abandoned, like a watchman's shelter in a vineyard, like a lean-to in a cucumber field after the harvest. Okay. Like a helpless city under siege. If the Lord of Heaven's armies does not spare a few of us, we would be wiped off like Sodom, destroyed like Gomorrah. Listen to the Lord, you leaders of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, people of Gomorrah. What makes you think I want all your sacrifices, says the Lord? I'm sick of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fattened cattle. I had no pleasure from the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to worship me, who asked you to parade through my courts with all your ceremony? Stop bringing me your meaningless gifts, and incense of your offerings disgust me. As for celebrations of the new moon and the Sabbath, and your special days for fasting, they're all sinful and false. I want no more of your pious meetings. I hate your new moon celebrations and your annual festivals. When you lift up your hands in prayer, I will not look. Though you offer many prayers, I will not listen. For your hands are covered with blood of innocent victims. Wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of orphans. Fight for the rights of widows. Come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they're like red crimson, I'll make them as white as wool. If only you obey me, you will have plenty to eat. But if you turn away and refuse to listen, you'll be devoured by the sword of your enemies. I, the Lord, have spoken. See how Jerusalem, once so faithful, has become a prostitute. Once the home of justice and righteousness, she's now filled with murderers. Once like pure silver, you've become like worthless slag. Once so pure, you're now like watered down wine. Your leaders are rebels, the compassion of thieves, and companions of thieves. All of them bribes. You demand payoffs, but they refuse to defend the cause of orphans and fight for the rights of widows. Therefore, the Lord of Heaven's armies, the mighty one of Israel, says, I will take revenge on my enemies and pay back my foes. I'll raise my fist against you. I will melt you down and skim off your slag. I'll remove all your impurities. Then I'll give you good judges again and wise counselors like you used to have. Then Jerusalem will again be called the home of justice and the faithful city. Zion will be restored by justice. Those who repent will be revived by righteousness. But rebels and sinners will be completely destroyed. Those who desert the Lord will be consumed. You'll be ashamed of your idol worship in groves of sacred oaks. You'll blush because you worshipped in gardens dedicated to idols. You'll be like a great tree with withered leaves. Where did I get white from? Like a garden without water. The strongest among you will disappear like straw. Their evil deeds will be the spark that sets them on fire. They and their evil works will burn up together, and no one will be able to put out the fire. Chapter 2. This is a vision that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of all, the most important place on earth. It'll be raised above the other hills, and from people from all over the world will stream there to worship. People from many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob's God. There he will teach us his ways, and he'll walk in his paths. For the Lord's teaching will go out from Zion. His word will go out from Jerusalem. The Lord will mediate between nations and will settle international disputes. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will no longer fight against nation, nor train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. For the Lord has rejected his people, the descendants of Jacob, because they have filled their land with practices from the east and with sorcerers, as the Philistines do. They've made alliances with pagans. Israel is full of silver and gold. There's no end to its treasure. Their land is full of war horses. There's no end to its chariots. Their land is full of idols. The people worship things they've made with their own hands. So now they will be humbled and will be brought low, and do not forgive them. Crawl into caves in the rocks, hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. Human pride will be brought down, and human arrogance will be humbled. Only the Lord will be exalted on that day of judgment. For the Lord of heaven's armies has a day of reckoning. He'll punish the proud and mighty and bring down everything that is exalted. He'll cut down the tall cedars of Lebanon and all the mighty works of Bashan, oaks. He will level all the high mountains and all the lofty hills. He will break down every high tower and every fortified wall. He'll destroy all the great trading ships and every magnificent vessel. Human pride will be humbled and human arrogance will be brought down. Only the Lord will be exalted on the day of judgment. Idols will completely disappear when the Lord rises to shake the earth. His enemies will crawl into holes in the ground. They'll hide in caves in the rocks from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. On the day of judgment, they'll abandon the gold and silver and idols they made for themselves to worship. They'll leave their gods to the rodents and bats to hide among the jagged rocks and the cliffs. They'll try to escape the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty as he rises to shake the earth. Don't put your trust in mere humans. They're as frail as breath. What good are they? Chapter 3, Judgment Against Judah. The Lord of heaven's armies, will take away from Jerusalem and Judah everything they depend on, every bit of bread and every drop of water. All their heroes and soldiers, judges and prophets, fortune tellers and elders, army officers and high officials, advisors, skilled sorcerers and astrologers. I will make boys their leaders and toddlers their rulers. People will oppress each other, man against man, neighbor against neighbor. Young people insult their elders, and vulgar people will sneer at the honorable. In those days, a man will say to his brother, since you have a coat, you be our leader. Take charge of this heap of ruins. But he will reply, no, I can't help. I don't have any extra food or clothes. Don't put me in charge. For Jerusalem will stumble and Judah will fall. Because they speak out against the Lord and refuse to obey him, they provoke him to his face. The very look on their faces give them away. They display their sin like the people of Sodom and don't even try to hide it. They are doomed. They brought destruction upon themselves. Tell the godly that all will be well for them. They'll enjoy the rich reward they have earned. But the wicked are doomed, for they will get exactly what they deserve. Childish leaders oppress my people, and women rule over them. O my people, your leaders mislead you. They send you down the wrong road. The Lord takes his place in court and presents his case against his people. The Lord comes forward to pronounce judgment on the elders and rulers of his people. You've ruined Israel, my vineyard. Your houses are filled with things stolen from the poor. How dare you crush my people? Grinding the faces of the poor into dust, demands the Lord of heaven's armies. The Lord says, beautiful Zion is haughty, craning her elegant neck, flirting her eyes, walking with dainty steps, tinkling her ankle bracelets. Shout out to everyone that tinkles their ankle bracelets. So the Lord will send scabs on her head. The Lord will make beautiful Zion bald. On that day of judgment, the Lord will strip away everything that makes her beautiful. Ornaments, headbands, crescent necklaces, earrings, bracelets, and veils, scarves, ankle bracelets, sashes, perfumes, and charms, rings, jewels, party clothes, gowns, capes, and purses, mirrors, fine linen garments, head ornaments, and shawls. Instead of smelling of sweet perfume, she'll stink. She'll wear a rope for sash, and her elegant hair will fall out. She'll wear rough burlap instead of rich robes. Shame will replace her beauty. The men of the city will be killed with a sword, and her warriors will die in battle. The gates of Zion will weep and mourn, and the city will be like a ravaged woman huddled on the ground. Chapter 4. In that day, so few men will be left that seven women will fight for each man, saying, let us marry you. We'll provide our own food and clothing. Only let us take your name so we won't be mocked as old maids. But in that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious. The fruit of the land will be pride and glory of all who survive in Israel. All who remain in Zion will be a holy people. Those who survived the destruction of Jerusalem are recorded among the living. The Lord will wash the filth from beautiful Zion and cleanse Jerusalem of its bloodstains. With the hot breath of fiery judgment, then the Lord will provide shade for Mount Zion and all that assemble there. He'll provide a canopy of cloud during the day and smoke and a flaming fire at night, covering the glorious land. It'll be a shelter from the daytime heat and a hiding place from the storms and rain. Chapter 5. Now I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a rich and fertile hill. He plowed the land, cleared its stones, and planted it with the best wines. In the middle, he built a watchtower and carved a winepress in the nearby rocks. Then he waited for harvest of sweet grapes, but the grapes that grew were bitter. Now, you people of Jerusalem and Judah, you judge between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done for my vineyard that I've not already done? When I expected sweet grapes, why did my vineyard give me bitter grapes? Now let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will tear down its hedges and let it be destroyed. I will break down its walls and let the animals trample it. I will make it a wild place where the vines are not pruned and the ground is not hoed, a place overgrown with briars and thorns. I'll command the clouds to drop no rain on it. The nation of Israel is the vineyard of the Lord of heaven's armies. The people of Judah are his pleasant garden. He expected a crop of justice, but instead he found oppression. He expected to find righteousness, but instead he heard the cries of violence. What sorrow awaits you who buy up house after house and field after field, until everyone is evicted and live alone in the land. But I've heard the Lord of heaven's army swear a solemn oath. Many houses will stand deserted, even beautiful mansions will be empty. 10 acres of vineyard will not produce even 6 gallons of wine. 10 baskets of seed will only yield 1 basket of grain. What sorrow for those who get up early in the morning looking for a drink of alcohol and spend long evening drinking wine to make themselves flaming drunk. They furnish wine and lovely music at their grand parties, lyre and harp, tambourine and flute, but they never think about the Lord or notice what he's doing. So my people will go into exile far away because they do not know me. Those who are great and honored will starve, and the common people will die of thirst. The grave is licking its lip in anticipation, opening its mouth wide. The great and the lowly and all the drunken mob will be swallowed up. Humanity will be destroyed and people brought down. Even the arrogant will lower their eyes in humiliation. But the Lord of heaven's armies will be exalted by his justice. The holiness of God will be displayed by his righteousness. In that day, lambs will find good pastures, and fattened sheep and young goats will feed among the ruins. What sorrow for those who drag their sins behind them with ropes made of lies, who drag wickedness behind them like a cart. They even mock God and say, "Hurry up and do something. We want to see what you can do. Let the Holy One of Israel carry out his plan, for we want to know what it is." What sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil, that dark is light and light is dark, that bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. What sorrow for those who are wise in their own eyes and think themselves so clever. What sorrow for those who are heroes at drinking wine and boast about all the alcohol they can hold. They take bribes to let the wicked go free and they punish the innocent. Therefore, just as fire licks up stubble, the dry grass shrivels in the flame, so their roots will rot and their flowers wither. For they've rejected the law of the Lord of heaven's armies. They've despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. That is why the Lord's anger burns against his people, and that is why he has raised his fist to crush them. The mountains tremble, and the corpses of people litter the streets like garbage. But even the Lord's anger is not satisfied. His fist is still poised to strike. He'll send a signal to distant nations far away and whistle to those at the ends of the earth, and they'll come racing towards Jerusalem. They will not get tired or stumble. They will not stop for rest or sleep. Not a belt will be loose, not a sandal strap broken. Their arrows will be sharp and their bows ready for battle. Sparks will fly from their horses' hooves, and the wheels of their chariots will spin like a whirlwind. They will roar like lions, like the strongest of lions. Growling, they'll pounce on their victims and carry them off, and no one will be there to rescue them. They'll roar over their victims on the day of destruction like the roaring of the sea. If someone looks across the land, only darkness and distress will be seen. Even the light will be darkened by clouds. These are so long. Look at how long these chapters are. Wow. All right, here we go. Chapter 6, Isaiah's cleansing and call. It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, "It's all over. I'm doomed, for I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among people with filthy lips. Yet I've seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." Then I heard the Lord asking, "Whom shall I send as a messenger to his people? Who will go for us?" I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Yes, go ahead and say to this people, listen carefully, but do not understand. Watch closely, but learn nothing. Harden the hearts of these people. Plug their ears and shut their eyes. That way they will not see their eyes, nor with their ears, nor understand with their hearts, and turn from me for healing." Then I said, "Lord, how long will this go on?" And he replied, "Until their towns are emptied, their houses are deserted, and the whole country is a wasteland. Until the Lord has sent everyone away, and the entire land of Israel lies deserted. If even a tenth of remnant survive, it'll be invaded again and burned. But as a terebinth or oak leaves a stump when it's cut down, so Israel's stump will be a holy seed." All right, I need a drink of water. Chapter 7, A Message for Ahaz. When Ahaz son of Jotham and grandson of Uzziah was king of Judah, King Rezin of Syria and Pekah son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, set out to attack Jerusalem. However, they were unable to carry out their plan. The news had come to the royal court of Judah, Syria is allied with Israel against us. So the hearts of the king and his people trembled with fear, like trees shaking in a storm. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, take your son Shear-Jashub and go out to meet King Ahaz. You'll find him at the end of the aqueduct that feeds water into the upper pool, near the road leading to the field where cloth is washed. Tell him to stop worrying. Tell him he doesn't need to fear the fierce anger of those two burned out embers, King Rezin of Syria and Pekah son of Remaliah. Yes, the kings of Syria and Israel are plotting against him, saying we'll attack Judah and capture it for ourselves. Then we'll install the son of Tabeel as Judah's king. But this is what the sovereign Lord says. Their invasion will not happen. It'll never take place. For Syria is no stronger than its capital, Damascus, and Damascus is no stronger than its king, Rezin. As for Israel, within 65 years, it'll be crushed and completely destroyed. Israel is no stronger than its capital, Samaria, and Samaria is no stronger than its king, Pekah, son of Remaliah. Unless your faith is firm, I cannot make you stand firm. Later, the Lord sent this message to King Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign of confirmation. Ahaz, make it as difficult as you want, as high as heaven or as deep as the place of the dead. But the king refused no, he said, I will not test the Lord like that. Then Isaiah said, listen, while your royal family of David isn't enough to exhaust the human patience, must you exhaust the patience of my God as well? All right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. By the time the child is old enough to choose what is right and reject what is wrong, he'll be eating yogurt and honey. For before the child is that old, the lands of two kings you fear so much will be both deserted. Then the Lord will bring things on you, your nation, and your family, unlike anything since Israel broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria upon you. In that day, the Lord will whistle for the army of southern Egypt and for the army of Assyria. They'll swarm around you like fleas and bees. Flies and bees. They will come in vast hordes and settle in the fertile areas and also in the desolate valleys, caves, and thorny places. In that day, the Lord will hire a razor from beyond the Euphrates River, the king of Assyria, and use it to shave off everything, your land, your crops, and your people. In that day, a farmer will be fortunate to have a cow and two sheep or goats left. Nevertheless, there'll be enough milk for everyone because so few people will be left in the land. They'll eat their fill of yogurt and honey. In that day, the lush vineyards, now worth 1,000 pieces of silver, will become patches of briars and thorns. The entire land will be a vast expanse of briars and thorns, a hunting ground overrun by wildlife. No one will go to the fertile hillsides where the gardens once grew, for briars and thorns will cover them. Cattle, sheep, and goats will graze there. Chapter 8. Then the Lord said to me, make a large signboard and clearly write this name on it. Meher Shalal Hashbaz. I asked Uriah the priest and Zechariah son of Jeberiah, both known as honest men, to witness my doing this. Then I slept with my wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And the Lord said, call him Meher Shalal Hashbaz. For before the child is old enough to say Papa or Mama, the king of Assyria will carry away both the abundance of Damascus and the riches of Samaria. Then the Lord spoke to me again and said, my care for the people of Judah is like the gently flowing waters of Shiloh, but they've rejected it. They're rejoicing over what will happen to King Rezin and King Pekah. Therefore, the Lord will overwhelm them with the mighty flood from the Euphrates River, the king of Assyria and all his glory. This flood will overflow all its channels and sweep into Judah until it's chin deep. It'll spread its wings, submerging their land from one end to the other, O Emmanuel. Huddle together, you nations, and be terrified. Listen, you distant lands. Prepare for battle, but you will be crushed. Yes, prepare for battle, but you will be crushed. Call your councils of war, but they will be worthless. Develop your strategies, but they will not succeed, for God is with us. The Lord has given me a strong warning not to think like everyone else does. He said, don't call everything a conspiracy like they do, and don't give in to dread of what frightens them. Make the Lord of heaven's armies holy in your life. He's the only one you should fear. He's the one who should make you tremble. He will keep you safe, but to Israel and Judah, he'll be a stone that makes people stumble, a rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, he'll be a trap and a snare. Many will stumble and fall, never to rise again. They'll be snared and captured. Preserve the teaching of God and entrust instructions to those who follow me. I will wait for the Lord who has turned away from the descendants of Jacob. I will put my hope in him. I and the children of the Lord has given me serve as a sign and warning to Israel from the Lord of heaven's armies who dwells in the temple of Mount Zion. Someone may say to you, let's ask the mediums and those who consult the spirits of the dead. With their whispering and mutterings, they'll tell you what to do. But shouldn't people ask God for guidance? Shouldn't the living seek guidance from the dead? Look to God's instructions and teachings. People who contradict his word are completely in the dark. They'll go from one place to another, weary and hungry. And because they're hungry, they'll rage and curse their king and their God. They will look up to heaven and go down to the earth, but wherever they look, there will be trouble and anguish and dark despair. They'll be thrown out into darkness. The Messiah. Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will go on, will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. To those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people that rejoice at the harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You'll break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned. They'll be fuel for the fire. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He'll rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lords of Heaven's armies will make this happen. The Lord has spoken out against Jacob. His judgment has fallen upon Israel, and the people of Israel and Samaria who spoke with such pride and arrogance will soon know it. They said, "We will replace the broken bricks of our ruins with finished stone and replant the felled sycamore fig trees with cedars." Sneeze incoming. Excuse me, shot. I had to sneeze. But the Lord will bring resins. Okay, I read that. The Syrians from the east and the Philistines from the west will bare their fangs and devour Israel. But even the Lord's anger will not be satisfied. His fist is still poised to strike. For after all this punishment, the people will not repent. They will not seek the Lord of Heaven's armies. Therefore, in a single day, the Lord will destroy both the head and the tail, the noble palm branch and the lowly reed. Oh, sneeze incoming. Sneeze turned into a yawn. The leaders of Israel, okay. For the leaders of the people have misled them. They have led them down the path of destruction. That is why the Lord takes no pleasure in the young men and shows no mercy even to the widows and orphans. For they are all wicked hypocrites and they all speak foolishness. But even the Lord's anger will not be satisfied. His fist is still poised to strike. This wickedness is like a brush fire. It burns not only briars and thorns, but also sets the forest ablaze. Its burning sends up clouds of smoke. The land will be blackened, the fury of the Lords of Heaven's army. The people will be fuel for fire, and no one will spare even his own brother. They will attack their neighbor on the right, but will still be hungry. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. This sneeze will not go away. It wants to go, but it just doesn't. Just there. They'll devour their neighbor on the left, but not be satisfied. In the end, they'll even eat their own children. Ugh. Manasseh will feed on Ephraim. Ephraim will feed on Manasseh, and both will devour Judah. But even the Lord's anger will not be satisfied. His fist still poised to strike. Chapter 10. What sorrow awaits the unjust judges, those who issue unfair laws? They deprive the poor of justice and deny the rights of the needy among my people. They prey on widows and take advantage of orphans. What will you do when I punish you, when I send disaster upon you from a distant land? To whom will you turn for help? Where will your treasure be safe? You'll stumble along as prisoners or lie among the dead. But even the Lord's anger will not be satisfied. His fist is still poised to strike. What sorrow awaits Assyria, the rod of my anger. I use it as a club to express my anger. I'm sending Assyria against a godless nation, against a people with whom I'm angry. Assyria will plunder them, trampling them like dirt beneath its feet. But the king of Assyria will not understand that he is my tool. His mind does not work that way. His plan is simply to destroy, to cut down nation after nation. He will say, "Each of my princes will soon be a king." We destroyed Calno just as we did Carchesm. Hamath fell before us as Arpad did. And we destroyed Samaria just as we did Damascus. Yes, we have finished off many a kingdom whose gods were greater than those in Jerusalem and Samaria. So we will defeat Jerusalem and her gods just as we destroyed Samaria with hers. After the Lord had used the king of Assyria to accomplish his purpose in Mount Zion in Jerusalem, he will turn against the king of Assyria and punish him, for he is proud and arrogant. He boasts, "By my own powerful arm I've done this. With my own shrewd wisdom I have planned it. I've broken down the defenses of nations and carried off their treasures. I've knocked down their kings like a bull. I've robbed their nest of riches and gathered up kingdoms as a farmer gathers eggs. No one can even flap a wing against me or utter a peep of protest. But can the axe boast greater power than the person who uses it? Is a saw greater than the person who saws? Can a rod strike unless a hand moves it? Can a wooden cane walk by itself? Therefore, the Lord of Heaven's armies, will send a plague among Assyria's proud troops, and flaming fire will consume its glory. The Lord, the light of Israel, will be a fire. The Holy One will be a flame. He'll devour the thorns and briars with fire, burning up the enemy in a single night. The Lord will consume Assyria's glory like a fire consumes a forest in a fruitful land. It'll waste away like sick people in a plague. Of all the glorious forests, only a few trees will survive, so few that a child could count them. In that day, the remnant will be left in Israel, the survivors in the house of Jacob. They'll no longer need to depend on allies who seek to destroy them, but they'll faithfully trust the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. A remnant will return. Yes, the remnant of Jacob will return to the mighty God. But though the people of Israel are as numerous as the sand of the seashore, only a remnant of them will return. The Lord has rightly decided to destroy his people. Yes, the Lord of heaven's armies, has already decided to destroy the entire land. So this is what the Lord of heaven's army says. O my people in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrians when they oppress you with a rod and club as the Egyptians did long ago. In a little while, my anger against you will end and my anger will rise up to destroy them. The Lord of heaven's armies will lash them with his whip as he did in Gideon when Gideon triumphed over the Midianites at the rock of Oreb and when the Lord's staff was raised to drown the Egyptian army in the sea. In that day, the Lord will end the bondage of his people. He'll break the yoke of slavery and lift it from their shoulders. Look, the Assyrians are now at Aeth. They're passing through Migron. They're storing their equipment at Michmash. They're crossing the pass and are camping at Geba. Fear strikes the town of Ramah, and all the people of Gibeah, the hometown of Saul, are running for their lives. Scream in terror, you people of Gallim. Shout out a warning to Lasha, O poor Anathoth. There go the people of Madmanah, all fleeing. The citizens of Geban are trying to hide. The enemy stops at Nob for the rest of the day. He shakes his fist at beautiful Zion, the mountain of Jerusalem. But look, the Lord of heaven's armies, will chop down the mighty tree of Assyria with great power. He will cut down the proud. That lofty tree will be brought down. He'll cut down the forest trees with an axe. Lebanon will fall to the mighty one. Chapter 11. Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. And the spirit of the Lord will rest on him, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He'll delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance, nor make a decision based on hearsay. He'll give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. He will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat, and the calf and yearling will be safe with the lion, and a little child will lead them all. The cow will graze near the bear, and the cub and the calf will lie down together. The lion will eat hay like a cow, and the baby will play safely near the holes of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put its hand in a nest of deadly snakes without harm. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For as waters fill the sea, so the earth will be full of the people who know the Lord. In that day, the heirs of David's throne will be a banner of salvation to all the world. The nations will rally to him, and the land where he lives will be a glorious place. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to bring back the remnant of his people, those who remain in Assyria and northern Egypt, in southern Egypt, Ethiopia, and Elam, in Babylonia, Hamath, and all the distant coastlines. He will raise a flag among the nations and assemble the exiles of Israel. He'll gather the scattered people of Judah from the ends of the earth. Then at last, the jealousy between Israel and Judah will end. They will not be rivals anymore. They'll join forces to sweep down on Philistia to the west. Together, they'll attack and plunder the nations to the east. They'll occupy the lands of Edom and Moab, and Ammon will obey them. The Lord will make a dry path through the Gulf of the Red Sea. He'll wave his hand over the Euphrates River, sending a mighty wind to divide it into seven streams so he can easily be crossed on foot. He'll make a highway for the remnant of his people, the remnant coming from Assyria, just as he did for Israel long ago when they returned from Egypt. Chapter 12. In that day you'll sing, I will praise you, O Lord. You were angry with me, but not anymore. Now you comfort me. See, God has come to save me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. The Lord God is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. With joy, you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. In that wonderful day, you'll sing, thank the Lord, praise his name. Tell the nations what he has done. Let them know how mighty he is. Sing to the Lord, for he has done wonderful things. Make known his praise around the world. Let all the people of Jerusalem shout his praise with joy, for great is the Holy One of Israel who lives among you. Chapter 13. Isaiah, son of Amoz, received this message concerning the destruction of Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them as they march into the places of the high and mighty palaces. I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I've called my mighty warriors to express my anger, and they'll rejoice when I'm exalted. Hear the noise on the mountains. Listen as the vast armies march. It is the noise shouting of many nations. The Lord of heaven's armies has called his army together. They come from distant countries, from beyond the farthest horizons. They are the Lord's weapons to carry out his anger. With them, he will destroy the whole land. Scream in terror, for the day of the Lord has arrived, the time for the Almighty to destroy. Every arm is paralyzed with fear. Every heart melts and people are terrified. Pangs of anguish grip them like those of a woman in labor. They look helplessly at one another and their faces aflame with fear. For see, the day of the Lord is coming, the terrible day of his fury and fierce anger. The land will be made desolate and all the sinners destroyed with it. The heavens will be black above them. The stars will give no light. The sun will get dark when it rises and the moon will provide no light. I, the Lord, will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their sin. I will crush the arrogance of the proud and humble the pride of the mighty. I will make people scarcer than gold, more rare than fine gold of Ophir. For I will shake the heavens, the earth will move from its place, when the Lord of heaven's armies displays his wrath in the day of his fierce anger. Everyone in Babylon will run about like a hunted gazelle, like sheep without a shepherd. They'll try to find their own people and flee to their own land. Anyone who is captured will be cut down, run through a sword. Their little children will be dashed to death before their eyes, and their homes will be sacked, and their wives will be raped. Look, I will stir up the Medes against Babylon. They cannot be tempted by silver or bribed with gold. The attacking armies will shoot down the young men with arrows. They'll have no mercy on helpless babies and will show no compassion for children. Babylon, the most glorious of kingdoms, the flower of the Chaldean pride, will be devastated like Sodom and Gomorrah when God destroyed them. Babylon will never be inhabited again. It'll remain empty for generation after generation, and nomads will refuse to camp there. And shepherds will not bed down their sheep. Desert animals will move onto the ruined city, and the houses will be hunted by howling creatures. Owls will live among the ruins, and goats will gather there to dance. Hyenas will howl in its fortresses, and jackals will make dens in luxurious places. Babylon's days are numbered. The time of destruction will soon arrive. And this is an end time prophecy, if you don't know. Wow. Praise the Lord, guys. We are done. Day number, I think that's 50. Are we on day 50? Day 50. Day 50 is in the books. Tomorrow we are on day 51. We have about, 14 chapters tomorrow. Once again, guys, we're live every day at 2 o'clock. I know you're probably tired of hearing me say that, but there's new people on the live every single time. Thank you all for supporting. My support link is there. We're viewer supported. So become a monthly partner and help us continue to do this ministry full time with your guys' support. I appreciate every single one of you. Thank you for being in the chat. Thank you for engaging. I'm going to jump off here because I got a bunch of stuff to get done today. But I love you all. I appreciate you all. And I will see you guys live. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.